He is 100% in. But
this is why we need a producer.
No, his first big duty outside of Saturday's game.
You said
he has to work the. Yeah. Oh my God. We are 12.
And that's the title for today's episode.
You said duty.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, aka Chattagooner, and tonight we have a full house. Shelly, Shabby, and Todd are all here. How is everyone tonight? Shelly, how are you doing over in the other part of Belvoir?
I am doing quite wonderful. No rain over here. Hot as all get out, but doing well.
Shabby, how are things over where you are?
I'm here.
You're here. That's good. Todd, Bradley County, everything going
Holding
well?
Holding it down up here in Bradley County.
All right. So
things are good from here.
Elon still treating you well with the internet?
Hey, I'm here, aren't I?
You are.
And your picture is quite clear and That's audio. Right. Elon, yep. He spoils you.
Yep.
He does. He's too good to me. Truly.
So we've got a full slate of stuff to talk about. We had a women's match, a men's match, Pride Razor closed, a bunch of other stuff to talk about. So I guess who actually got to watch the women's match? Did anybody watch it?
I don't think that game was broadcast in any kind of way.
Oh, it was. It was.
If it was, it was some.
It was supposed to. It's some new streaming app.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, remember Alex was telling us a little bit about it at CBC afterwards, and so I didn't I got like little snippets because she had it up because they had like an hour and a half rain delay, so they were still well into the first half when we all got over to CBC. Our match. So,
but not to mention they were playing in central time zone, so that helped out too.
Yeah, that slow time does help.
I will tell you, the sports bar on my cruise ship did not play the match.
They gypped you.
Did they have? Did my Guju work on
the cruise line? Like, I'm gonna make sure I never use them.
Did 11 Sports work on the cruise? That's okay. It probably didn't work. It didn't.
It never works anywhere else. Why would it work out at sea?
So Owen tapped me like about, I don't know, an hour and a half before I left for the stadium. He's like, "Hey, can you do the tagging tonight?" So I was up in the press box all by myself again, tagging. Well, no, I guess Owen was there for a little bit, but he doesn't count.
What is tagging?
So, you know, so you may know, if you go back to an old match on 11, you can select the goal and you can only watch like the first, like the 30 seconds around when the goal is scored. And there are other things that are tagged. So there's somebody doing that as when the goal is scored, they tag it, you tag who scored.
And that person is you.
It was last time.
I'm going to go back and check your work.
So we try. Good. So we try. I was trying to watch the women's match at the same time.
Did you tag anything in that bust up at the end of the game?
No, because we didn't know what we didn't know. We
Did
weren't
you tag it bust up.
No, we didn't know what had happened. I saw a red given to Luke, and then I heard later on there were two other reds. Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves, Todd. That's the men's match. Let's go back.
We're just all excited for talking about red things.
Yes, we're talking about the women's match again. That was the same night. This was the match when the women were playing away, when the men were playing at home. I know we had a couple of folks go to the women's match. It ended 2-2. I think we came back twice. Right, we went down twice and then came back and tied it up both times. That ends the season with 4 points. A win and a tie against North Alabama. We don't need to go into We're in third. We're in fourth place out of five. Todd and I talked about this last week. That really, it doesn't really matter to us where we ended up this season. The important thing was that the team happened, that the women were, that they have a good experience,
absolutely,
that they fought and they represented the badge well on the field and off the field. I think all of those are checks. I think we, anyway, we made the playoffs, which, you know, as we found out a little bit later, everybody made the playoffs who wanted to be in the playoffs. So, but we would have been in the playoffs anyway with all, if all five teams, cause we finished fourth. So, what are you, Todd and I talked a little bit about this last week. I guess Shelley and Shabby, I'll ask you in a minute. What are your takeaways from the regular season for kind of the first women's season back since 2018?
Yeah. Well, my thing is that given what we had to get a coach, to get a team started, to get things done right, I feel pretty darn dandy about the women's season because I didn't have, I mean, I love to see our team win, but I wasn't realistically thinking we were going to come in and blaze in and win it all because obviously for a lot of reasons, we had a little slower start getting everything up and going. But with everything, all the cards stacked against us, I'm happy. I mean, we won some. We literally had the game day experience that we've been asking for. We've had the largest crowd we've ever had at any women's CFC match, which was amazing to see. We had concessions and bathrooms. Who would have thought? Two really good things. So,
yeah.
I mean, between the game day experience, seeing the girls treated so well, they had housing, they had travel funded for them, they had fans coming out. I mean, just that aside, but I think it was a good group of girls and it makes me extremely optimistic and happy for next year because, you know, all things considered, as long as we, you know, plug away with coaching, you know, staying the same, we'll have more time to prepare, which will probably yield some better results in my opinion.
Shabby, you got anything to add?
It's four more points than I was counting on. I was thrilled. I was thrilled to see it happen. I was so excited about the way we made those players feel. I think the women's team felt more cared for than ever. And I loved that. I loved seeing their joy. I loved seeing their pride. And, you know, when you see like the, I know there was a Twitter interview, was it with Anna, where she was talking about like the difference in the experience from previously playing?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was about. It was about showing that we could do it and do it right. And so I consider the season a huge success, regardless of the points or the playoffs or anything else. And I cannot wait for next year.
Well, we do have a playoff match that will be tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow early evening, I guess, against Knoxville, up in Knoxville, 7 or 7:30. I don't remember when the kick is. And so if you're headed up, I think the Chattahooligans are gathering at 5 o'clock. You can look at their Facebook page or their Instagram for those details. If you're headed up for the playoff match, and the winner of that will then play Nashville for the conference title. And I was a little confused when the club put out we were playing Knoxville, but it was further explained that the two Alabama teams had some player availability issues and were not, I don't think they were planning on doing the playoffs from the get-go. And so there are three teams left, Nashville, us, and Knoxville. So we'll play Knoxville for the rights to play Nashville for the conference championship. So
yeah, that's a good point to remember. We're talking about, we were referencing before we started recording the podcast about remember the days when the men were amateurs as well, and how there does come a point where you have this, attrition of players. So, you know, we've played Knoxville twice and we have yet to beat them. But that's not to say that we're going to be playing the same Knoxville team tomorrow night. We don't know if they've had massive roster changes to this point or not. So, and nor do we know about our own roster. But what I do know is we have about 30 players available going into the season, anticipating this exact kind of thing going into the first season. We didn't know there were girls that already had vacations planned and things of that nature. And as crazy as that sounds, once again, this is amateur soccer. This is, this girl's got asked to play kind of at the last minute. So it is what it is. And so to say, having said all that, we don't know what kind of team Knoxville is going to put out there tomorrow night. You know, at this level, one player can make a massive difference if it's the right player, if they're not there. So I'm assuming this is going to be available to be streamed on some platform.
I hope so. But
well, I think we also have that added bonus. Tom and Breezy are going up. So if for some reason, I don't ever want to discourage anyone for traveling for the women's matches, any match to begin with, if it's feasible, especially ones that are close because we are in NISA again, but oh, not NISA, one word. You know what I mean? MPSL days. Yeah. So, but because of that, I think we do have that added bonus that fingers crossed they actually might stream it on Facebook Live if nothing else fails. Because obviously,
the old Breezy Facebook Live. It's well
over the years. Television needs to make a comeback. They did it once so far this season. Buck said, I don't want to discourage anyone from traveling, especially it's so close. It's, yeah. But yeah, other than that, I hope that we'll be able to see it at some point because I know I won't be able to make it, unfortunately, because of work. So I would love to be able to actually watch the stream of it. Because you know what? Guess what? It's a win because we're first season back and we're in the playoffs. I don't care how we got there. We're in the playoffs.
Right. Remember how we talked about how that would be cool if we made it to the playoffs this first season?
And,
we did it.
And if folks don't remember the previous matches, we lost 2-1 to them, which I think we were unfortunate not to get a result in that match. I think we were the better team all the second half. And then that was the home game. And then the away game, they scored a late winner. It was like the 89th or 90th minute. They scored their one goal to win 1-0. So both games have been very competitive. Hopefully third time's a charm and we can advance and get another win and at least, hey, play the championship game. And soccer's a funny sport. Who knows what will happen and win a game against Nashville. So. Also that evening, we had a home match against Syracuse for the men. We came out with a 2-1 victory, an early goal from who scored the first goal? It was a
dig deep, nice... Jim. Dig deep.
Who scored the first goal?
Stratton.
Oh, that's right. It was great. But yeah, it was Greg. Greg Stratton.
But the build-up play to that was the story of that goal. Like if you're talking about it, because it was off of a corner kick. It was played quickly, direct way back on the same side as the corner kick to Dixon, who mm-hmm. then plays the ball right
time,
back.
First in, time.
Yeah. First time. And then do you know who had the assist?
I think it was McGrath. I believe it was Alex. It was McGrath.
And yeah, he just centers it and Stratton just is there, for the tap in. So it was a good overall. I mean, it was something right off the training pitch. I mean, I don't know if they had been practicing that or not, but man, it certainly looked like it. Well, orchestrated corner kick.
Yeah. I think that's a design play. I mean, and you know, maybe the corner before that we were playing short corners and I was just like, oh, not another short corner.
You and me both. I every time I see a short corner that amounts to absolutely nothing, I'm like, well, that's a missed opportunity. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But so, and then you see one work out like this and you're just like, well, that was beautiful. But you know, it's not going to come out like that every time.
Yeah. Very nice. Very nice play. You've already described it well. And 1-0. And I thought we were on our way and the game kind of slowed down a little bit and,
Did you feel like it slowed down? I thought in the first 20 minutes, we should have been up like 3-0.
Well, okay.
I said the exact same thing in 109. By that point, all intents and purposes, given how they've played in the past, like Syracuse, we should have been way further ahead by that point. Going into the half, I was expecting it to be up by three.
Yeah, I thought we missed several like clear chances.
We weren't connecting like we normally do.
I thought Brent created several chances on his own and was unlucky not to put at least one of them away. And then I think he got into that mode where he was creating chances so fast. He's like, well, do I shoot this one or do I pass it off? And I thought he was passing when he could have been shooting. But you know, you kind of get into that headspace where, hey, I'm like, man, you're a shooter. Shoot. Like there's no sense in passing the ball.
Yeah, you're right. After that first flurry, I mean, again, I thought we were on our way with that first goal. I was expecting another one, and it just never came off. And
well, here's the thing too, and something we were discussing at the half up in 109 is that even Syracuse looked, they were playing a lot better than they were the first time we saw them in a matchup. I mean, several of us said the exact same thing. I mean, we were playing a little sluggish. It was an extremely hot day, and we had just come off of a long stretch on the road too. So we had a lot of factors going against us, but Syracuse played way better. They also was expecting a red card from Syracuse within the first 10 minutes, and that didn't happen. I had money on it, but it didn't. But Syracuse, actually, I was quite impressed. They were playing far better and keeping up a lot better than I anticipated they would.
So we go again with, after that first flurry, I think the game kind of quieted down a little bit. And then one play, I don't know if it was a turnover, but Caleb, no, it wasn't a turnover. I think it was off of a free kick in their area. And they kicked it. We played one pass. Caleb makes a really good run, and Stripling just loses track of him. And one of their players plays a really nice through ball. He and Caleb's one-on-one with the keeper and slots it home. To be honest, you say that we should have been up early on. We could have very well been down also, because Reddington made a couple of really nice saves in that first half. And, you know, at the end of the first half, I was like, you know what, a draw is probably a pretty fair result for what happened in that first half. That's a little frustrating to say, because I think we're a lot better than Syracuse, but they had a couple of really good chances that Alec, and he came up really big. And again, I think, you know, we've said this before, shot stopping is not Reddington's issue. I mean, he is a really good shot stopper. Where the only issue I think he has with the way we play now is just with the ball at his feet and his distribution. But one-on-one, I would put him with anybody that anybody really in the league. And even with KG, I would put him up there as a shot stopper. So that first half, I thought he kept the game even. And then we had that little defensive lapse with Caleb in the goal and the,
well, I'll the 40th I'll touch minute. I'll touch on a couple of things you said. I agree. Reddington, number one, he had a huge game. His shot stopping was he was called upon way too many times to make outstanding saves. The goal that Caleb scored, and it's funny, he's a former CFC player, so we're on a first name basis, obviously. But the Caleb goal, like, he committed to that run, and to his credit, followed through with it. And the ball that was played through was absolutely inch perfect. I'll give that guy 100 more times to make that pass that weighted. And I guarantee you, he doesn't connect it on 90% of the time. So, but it was good. But we had already had some kind of warning shots. They were kind of getting some open looks. Caleb had already had one where he probably could have, he's probably really upset that he didn't finish that one. But you're absolutely right. They had, he came up, Alec came up huge the game more times than I thought he should have. And they had some clear-cut chances. And I was getting kind of nervous about it, because I thought we had that barrage of chances, didn't capitalize on the opportunities we had. And I'm like, well, here we go. We're giving up these other opportunities to them way too easy. So when they equalized, I felt like it was kind of coming.
So we go into half 1-1, come out and make a pretty quick change. I don't know. You know, there was a change. Jones went out, and who came in?
Luke.
No. Luke came in later for Ian.
Jones, that's right.
So Jaimez, was that to who came out? I believe Alexi.
I'm not sure who made that. So didn't you tell me that there should have been a penalty shout in the first half?
Yeah. Right,
we had a lot
now,
of missed handballs.
Yeah, that was that it. Much. Yeah. There was
lots of handballs.
Yeah. There were a couple shouts for a handball. One of them, I don't know. It hit up around the chest area. It may have hit his arm. It was hard for me to tell. Yeah. There was one where, and I don't remember who had the ball for us, but Sean Reynolds went down on the ground, and when he goes down, he extends his arm, and it must have been Brett. And I think Brett was kind of in on goal, and Brett kind of cuts. He's cutting in to take a shot. Sean slides through and leaves his arm out. And when Brett cuts it back, it hits his arm in the box. It prevents Brett from that cutback. And, you know,
You're talking about Sean Russell, right?
Yes. Yeah. Again, first name basis with former CFC players.
Well, you said Russell. You said Reynolds.
But did I say Sean Reynolds? Russell.
Yeah,
he did. Call him Big Sean.
Yeah, Big Sean. He goes down, and yeah, I think it's – we've had issues with this center ref before.
He's also the one that this crew is the one that did the blowing the whistle last season.
He's the San Diego ref, but we've had other issues with him in the past. There should have been. I think that should have been a penalty. They didn't call it. The guys made it count anyway. So, and then Marcus happens again. when we need a goal, where are we going to get it? We got the penalty.
Did you think it was a soft pin?
You know, I haven't gone back and watched it. It looks a little shoulder to shoulder to me, at least just in real time. But I haven't gone back to look at it really. I mean, I will say I wasn't surprised when the ref pointed to the spot. It was one of those things where, again, something happens, you're like, you immediately go to the ref and see if he's going to give it. And he did. And so there was contact. I do not believe the Syracuse defender got the ball, but it was pretty close to a shoulder to shoulder challenge. And I'd have to go back and watch it again, but it was given, and he made no bones about finishing it. So to go up 2-1. And at that point, I really, that was the 80th minute. Syracuse really hadn't threatened that much. We did a much better job in the second half, at least what I remember. And so I wasn't overly worried about that, about the result after Naglestad finished that PK.
Yeah, and Todd, to answer your question too, I will say that from the stands, whenever it first happened, it really did look like a purposeful knock. Because I was like, okay, I could see why it was a penalty. But on the replay on the board, because it had it from a different angle, it honestly just like tradition, just like field of play action. It didn't look, because at first I was like, well, did he go in and like purposely tackle? Did he have like a cleat up type moment? But yeah, the replay honestly looked like it was just field of play. Like it wasn't anything purposeful. Wasn't like he was deflecting or anything like that. So I think we got a little lucky. I mean, I'll take it because of the outcome, and I was going to be happy with a draw at this point, but from the replay, it changed my thought process on it because they zoomed in a little bit as well on the video board.
I'll tell you, I was not going to be happy with a draw, and it would have straight up wrecked my night. Be drawing Syracuse. I'll tell you what, though, I've seen a couple of things now, both from the Syracuse match and from the Michigan Stars match, that I think that bear a little bit of discussion. And it's about, we have, both of those teams were willing to, I'm not going to say willing to, we had possession on, but I thought to quote our friend Matt, fouling is winning, I thought both teams were in it to foul us at strategic places. They were content to give us possession on our side of the field. And then when we broke across midfield, I thought they both teams came to meet us. And then if needed to, fouled us and hacked at us continually. And I think if there is it's not a chink in the armor of CFC. It's more like if there's a way to get at us, that's it, is fouling and breaking up the rhythm that we try to establish through possession. And so I think that's something to watch for as we enter the second half of the season, is we have to be able to overcome those teams that just kind of want to get stuck in, foul, and kind of like make the game choppy and bust up our rhythm.
Yeah, and they also sat in. I mean, I don't know that you would say they parked the bus, but they definitely were. I mean, it was going to take a little bit to break them down, and the team's just going to have to be patient, because we're going to see that a lot. We're going to see teams lay back, play for the counter, as you said, break up the play, in strategic places. I would, if I was the opposing team, I would not be fouling close to the box to give Nagastad a chance at a free kick. But, you know, they fouled. I mean, it really wasn't that physical of a match. I think there were only two or three yellows, but it was just the tedious little fouls right when, or the challenges when, just to knock us off our stride a little bit. And the guys were patient, created some things, but I thought Syracuse had a pretty decent game plan and executed it fairly well.
I think they really looked like a fuller team, to be honest with you. And I don't mean that in any sort of like way, but they were, if you look across the lineup, they had a couple of players that their skill level was that good skill players, but they also had a certain physicality about them that made them difficult. Like that back line was difficult. I mean, anytime you got Big Sean back there, you know, I mean, he's going to be tough, but that whole back line was like that. So, but it looked like a fuller team. Didn't rely too much on possession or anything. But yeah, they made life difficult, I thought.
It was a good result. We got the win. And then the very next day, we got another good result in Michigan when Michigan and Flower City drew, which means we gained another 2 points on Michigan. So we're now 7 points up at the top of the table in the East. So pretty good overall, pretty good weekend. We're off a little bit now until we play the winner of the round robin for the Independent Cup. We've got four teams in the Southeast Conference. It's us, Club de Leon FC, Miami Beach CF, and Brevard Fire. So three Florida teams and us. There's been only been one match so far, with Club de Leon beating Miami Beach 2-1. So we'll have to wait and see who comes out of that round robin. And then we play them on July 23rd at 7:30 in Finley. So that's our next home match. Is that's correct, right?
That's
our next match, right?
That's our next. Well, no, we play away a week from Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, we're away a week from Saturday. We have that. And yeah, just so we don't have a home match until
the 23rd.
End of the cup. And let's just be honest, I have a feeling I'll be Leon. Have you seen their for the entire season? They've done quite well.
Okay. Yeah.
They have like a 30. Don't they have like a 30 goal differential or something? It's something ludicrous.
Yeah,
good on them. Good on them is all I got to say.
It seems like they're the favorite. The favorite in terms of who we think,
but they don't have the golden foot that we have, and home turf.
Well, the thing is, when they come up here, I mean, we're going to get their, you know, whoever it is, we're going to get their best shot. And on the flip side, I think we will take that opportunity probably to mix the lineup up a little bit. So all bets are off when you have those kind of situations. I'm sure they have some quality players. And they probably play very well together. So all bets are kind of off in those, you know, kind of cup situations. Should we win? Absolutely. But there'll be some variables in there that I think will make it difficult.
Yeah, I'm curious if we're going to see Spielman hitting into the starting lineup soon. You know, he's been off of starting for a solid month and a half now. So, I mean, he had more playing minutes last week, but I am curious if that would be a good match to kind of pull in some of our folks that haven't had tons of playing time as well, if it would be to our advantage.
I would really like to see a certain number 10 get a run out in that match. I think it'd be nice to see Juan on the pitch for that, at least some in that match. And I forgot completely. We're doing that New York tour again. So we've got Flower City on Saturday, Syracuse on Wednesday, the 20th. Followed by the Independent Cup match on the 23rd. So we've got two away matches doing the little New York tour before they come back and play.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's ever been a better time of year to get up to upstate New York.
Get
out of here.
Ooh, these 100 degrees and 105. And correct me if I'm wrong, that Syracuse rematch, isn't it in the afternoon? It's an afternoon
1:00.
Match. Yeah, it's match.
This is the Snowmageddon, right?
The Snowmageddon match.
Yeah, this is the makeup. This is the makeup game for the snowball. So hopefully we can pick up six more points and then rotate the squad a lot, give some guys some playing time in the Independent Cup, and then come back for two really, really important home matches back to back, where we host Maryland and then the game I think a lot of people are looking forward to, where we host Cal United, and where we really see, I think, where those two, where we and they kind of, it's clear, if it's clear by all the numbers that they, we are the best two teams in the league, I think by some margin. And although we've not seen all the West teams yet, we've not seen Albion. I guess that's the only West team, well, Albion and Cal, we haven't seen them, but, so that should be a very interesting game on August 10th at 7 o'clock. So we'll see. What's next?
Can I just say, I brought it up on Twitter, and I know there's been a lot of attention, and rightly so, on the season that Marcus is having. I mean, leading the league in goals and just really putting in some great performances. But for me, Richard Dixon is quietly having himself a pretty amazing season. And it may not be on the stat list, and it may not be, like I said, in goals and that sort of thing, but the way he has held down that midfield and he is connected and he has played. And I think this may be the best season that I've seen him have to this point. And maybe it's because the players around him that are allowing him to play that way and the position that he's in. But man, I've just been very, very impressed with his play this year.
Yeah, I think having Cerro and McGrath beside him in the midfield has certainly helped. But you're right. I think he's been great at the number six. He's really protected the back line, made those connections, kind of dropped in and picked up the ball and made the connection between the back line and the forwards. I think he's had a really good season. Yeah.
No, you bring that up about, man, just the number of stray balls that he picks up out of the midfield by being able to, you know, read the play and then step in and intervene and like just quickly, you know, transition from defense to an offensive move. That's just been, it's been fun to watch because I think we're seeing the best of Richard.
I think you're going to have to hold off one game because he's off out the next game for a double yellow. So he's got to take it down.
He had
a double yellow, so that he'll be.
Did he get a yellow after the game?
Something happened on Saturday because when we were talking afterwards, it sounded like he got a double yellow and will be out next match. But unlike, you know, previous where we had a league that actually would put up the penalty report, I can't confirm fully that, but it looked like he was going to be out. I hope not, but. From what we were seeing, it looked like a double yellow was causing him, got a red because of a double yellow. I'm hoping that maybe it was just a misquoted yellow, and so he's fine for next match.
Yeah, I only heard there were three reds at the end of this. And I'm not really – did anybody see what happened at the beginning?
For which one? I
No, I mean, that kicked it all off. Like, I mean, something happened back around Reddington and – at least in the box somewhere.
Are they still holding grudges from the last match?
No kidding. They didn't get to foul anyone and get a red off the bat. No, I think that it was just emotions were high and the final whistle blew and probably just, I hate to say it, boys being boys, but I think that probably words. There was some shoving. I think that reason Ferrer got Luke got the final shove, which is what
got him his red. Yeah, his
because I saw
his birthday red.
Shove. Yeah, his birthday red. So that happened. And then I think the dude that instigated is what got the red for the other team because they're the ones who were kind of involved.
Well, there was
mainly.
Somebody who came off the bench that got a red. Syracuse, and then Coach Fuller got a red.
That was for language.
Yeah. So those are the
and the whistle. Oh, and the whistle. That's the thing too. Is the whistle hadn't blown yet?
Yeah.
And so the whistle hadn't fully blown. It's just it was. I guess they were about to call the match, and that's what kind of instigated it as well. Because obviously, like the last time we've had it, where a whistle was blown too early, that could really impact your outcome. So I don't know if they really thought that it might.
Now, so, and again, something happened with this, either a center back or Alec, because the AR, out of the corner of my eye, I saw him waving his flag, like he was waving, and then because there was
waving and pointing and doing all kinds of stuff.
Because there were two players who were getting into it, and I know Frankie was really hot after the game, and so I don't, it's not on camera, so you really can't tell, but. You know, there's a little bit of argy bargy going on with, and then I only heard three reds. So I knew that somebody had said when Dixon got his, I think he got a yellow. I heard somebody in the press box say, well, he's one yellow away from accumulation.
So maybe that's what it was. So maybe he's fine then. Maybe it was just confusion. So that's good.
I think his next
one would be. Yeah, his next yellow. That makes me feel better.
Yeah. Well,
we finally have a good lineup that's working so well with Richard. Yeah. Like Todd
was
saying.
I would rather him not get a yellow in the. Yes. In as long as he's available for the Cal United game.
Yes, exactly. he can get it this next one because then we'll still be fine. But,
right. Yeah. Is this where I bring up that, like, if we were in MLS next, it wouldn't matter because it would just be red would only count against them when they played Syracuse again?
That's a good point.
Well played, Jamie.
Oh, my God.
I guess it's like the it's Trivial Pursuit or Opposite Day. Just everyone gets to make up their own. Or it's Cards Against Humanity. So it's Cards Against Soccer. So you get that blank card and whoever wins this week gets to make up their own rule for the next week.
Well, you know, that was one of the things about that league. And I think MLS came out and said it like in their, you know, why they were going to like try to experiment with some rule changes. I mean, they didn't hit me up for my designated DH free kick taker, which I still think is a brilliant idea.
Personally, I think they're using a magic eight ball or a dartboard, one of the two.
I think they should just get rid of the offsides rule together and everybody just runs up and down the pitch the whole match. Like everybody just swarm ball. Yeah.
And if you want to use a cat and a dog, use a cat and a dog as a player.
Draw some extra circles outside the box. And if you score from the circle, you get two goals.
It's like top golf. It could be a top golf mentality.
You have two pointers and three pointers.
Like the MTV basketball game they used to, where if you shot from that area, you get like 4 points, whatever. Yeah. I think goalkeepers can use their hands anywhere on the pitch, and they're the only player that can never be offside.
Okay, I like it. I think all players should have magic spray attached to them at all times.
Yeah.
And so at any time they can use it to like make up another rule.
That's what we need to do on Twitter. We need to ask folks, whoever's still listening to this, you can put what new rules you want to have for MLS Next Pro. What crazy new rules would you want to have?
Maybe we should put that out there for next week's podcast, Potter. We can talk about the toffee.
I'm telling you, this would be so much more exciting if there was no offsides and there was never any substitution.
So you
say
that.
Just last man standing.
Revisit the free kick taker. Roberto Carlos and David Beckham would still be playing.
Or you can pick anybody on the field to take your free kick.
You can pull someone out of the stands. Yeah. Like, hey, my 90-year-old granddad's here. My 90-year-old granddad's here, and he needs to relive some glory days. I'm going to have him take the PK and hopefully not break a hip at the same time.
All right. Well, this was not on the agenda, so we need to move on because we can put that out and we'll have that for next week. Not that we're going to need to know what happens in Next Pro.
Crickets.
Yeah, I want to talk about it. All right, so June is over. Pride Razor, the Pride Razor campaign has closed.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks to everybody who donated, we raised a little over $9,000, 900 and change per goal. We scored 10 goals. Even I could do that math. So that's about a little over $9,000 for UTC Spectrum. So if you did donate,
so good.
You should already have an email to with the link to go on and make that contribution. Pride Razor put out like they did a little Hall of Fame. I don't know if you guys saw that. So the Chattahooligans have now raised in total for all the Pride Razor campaigns over $20,000 for local charities. And so
fantastic.
That's pretty awesome. And I am really happy that that we are working with Spectrum this year. So again, if you donated, if you pledged, now's the time to make good on that. Go check your email and go ahead and complete that Pride Razor pledge.
Be like me and pay a little extra too while you're at it.
That's right. If you want to. And somebody, I don't know, I think this started in Tampa. I don't know if you saw this. So the Tampa supporters are also matching that pledge. So they're giving their pledge to Pride Razor. Then they're matching it for a local either abortion fund or some other type of reproductive health nonprofit. So they're matching it. And so if you're interested in that, I think Detroit's doing that too. I know I've already seen some of our supporters say that they're going to do that. So yeah, if you could think of something or think of some reproductive health organization in Tennessee, go ahead and think about matching that gift for them. So we had a question we were talking about right before, and the question, this is Joseph put it on, Joseph Dykus put it on.
Formerly of the Chattanooga, yeah. Now of the San Jose Mercury.
Yeah, he's fancy
News.
Now.
He's now going to be the president and CEO of the San Francisco Chattahooligan chapter.
Yeah, the Bay Area Chattahooligan.
Bay Area.
Yeah. Maybe East Bay. I don't know about West. That's who cares about Oakland? But East.
As long
East,
as it's not Old Bay.
Old Bay. No, that's the wrong coast.
Hey.
That's shout out to Evan Ramos. Anytime Old Bay is mentioned, I feel like I've got to give Evan a shout out. So. So he's leaving us, leaving the Chattanoogan and going over to the left coast, over in the Bay Area and covering, I think, high school sports, for that paper. So we'll miss him, but he did put an interesting question. I think we decided it was him, right, Todd, that put this question out. So
it was,
and so we'll ask, we had a little time. We talked about it before, so we've had time to think about it. Who from CFC's past, and I assume we're talking about maybe the CFC 1.0 days.
I think he designated pre-2020.
So basically the amateur CFC days. Who from those days would you want to see play with this team in this system? So I'm going to go ahead and actually, I'm going to change it up a little bit. Todd, I'm going to ask you to go first. So do you, Who from the past would you like to see in this field?
Well, I said it on Twitter, and I'll double down on that even after I've thought about it some more. I would love to see Kieran Bywater system. Kieran played on the 2016 AKA Yellow Unis team that made it to the semifinal. But no, I'd love to see him. He was a guy that could really play the long ball, and I would love to see his ability to be dropping dimes on Nagelstad in this system. I think it would just be a really a fun thing to watch.
All right. Anybody else? Is it just that you're one?
Yeah, that's my one. I mean, he has one player.
Shelly, what about you? You've been excited to answer this question, so.
Yeah, I'll give you my top three.
Top three. Okay.
Yeah, top three. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So number one, Nile McCabe. Love Nile. Uh-huh. We didn't get enough of him here. He's been immense. He's an immense talent. He's done so well for Louisville. So I'd love to have him back. Mm-hmm. I would also like to have Leo DeSchmidt. He and his golden foot. I think if he was here and still playing, he and Marcus, they remind me a lot of their just scoring abilities. These pretty, pretty goals. Leo just had like a gift for making these shots. They just looked effortless. And then my third one actually is Kieran Bywater. I don't think we had enough time with him. I would have loved to see him with some of our current players in the mix up. Because I think that we would be, I mean, we're doing so well this year, but I think it would just be, if we had even had him last year, what a difference it would have made. So there's my top three.
All right, Shabby, who you got?
Cozy Marche. I don't even have to think. I want her back.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. She went for women's.
I was like, wait a minute. I was going through the going through the memory.
The look on your faces, like, I'm sorry. I'm thinking women's team. Women's if I could have team. Anybody, I want Cozy Morshe back.
Oh, well, yeah, we were going. Yeah.
Phenomenal. Like, can we please have Cozy Morshe back, please?
Yeah.
If she's still alive.
Yeah. She's doing women, incredible. Yeah. She's playing with EC right now.
Mm-hmm. She's playing EC with who?
In France?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she signed an international contract.
After she moved to the Reign, then she moved over to, she's exploding.
Yeah, blowing up. She's doing so well. Yeah, if we're going women, I would want to bring Summer, and I'd also want to bring Carly back.
Oh,
yeah,
Summer.
I was going to say Carly.
So, Carly and Summer.
And who is the player? I think she was from Hawaii. Is it McKenna?
McKenna Davis.
Yeah,
that was her name.
Yeah,
I mean, she was a player, and she went and played in Europe for a while, I believe. I believe she did.
She did.
Yeah, and Carly played in Portugal for a little bit before she.
Thanks, Shabby. I hadn't put my thinking cap on for.
Well, I'm just saying, y'all thinking about men's players. Like, I know, you know, we've had some phenomenal women come through.
We're terrible people.
Well, the context of the question was framed for the men's team, so it's okay.
So I was.
Jim, you don't have to beat yourself into submission after the podcast.
Feel guilty for your sexist tendency. Feel the shame.
Yes,
shun the disbeliever. Shun.
Yes. Yeah. So in terms of players I like to see, Leo came to mind. Every time that young man lined up over a free kick, I thought it was going to be a goal. I really enjoyed him. I think
we could both just reel off our, you know, some of our players in the past that, I mean, Alan Webb, there's one. Would love to see him with this. Yeah. And that was actually mentioned. In the
I was
going to
say, Joao Costa, as a, outside of the winger, in, you know, like playing in this system as one of the outside forwards, I would love to see him, you know, at that right winger position. That would be nice. I mean, he's got to be one of the fastest players we've ever had. I would like to see him take his chances here with his team. I'm sure there are others. I think it'd be interesting to see Grega and how he performed, in this environment, in a professional environment. There's several players I think you could go through. You know, I think that 16 team. The 15-16 teams probably could have competed really well in NISA. So,
yes, you're 100. Yeah,
that 16 magical team was just unbelievably loaded with talent.
Again, one of the don't want to end this on a bad note, but probably one of the worst nights was that semifinal. That stings so much. I don't think I've ever been as. I've been upset leaving games. I don't like to lose, but that one still stings.
I was gutted on that one.
That one just stings. Thank you, Joseph, for that question. Thank you, Joseph, for all of the great stories about CFC, the great content. We are going to miss out on that CFC content. We're going to miss out on seeing you taking pictures and, you know, on the pitch and up.
Hey, just a friendly face and all around.
Yeah. And, you know, I was looking for Joseph's top 10 CFC stories, and I found one, and I think it's the best. So
it is.
If you've not, go to the podcast Twitter account. You can see Joseph's great story about me and Todd, I guess, right when we.
That's right, when
we started. We may have done 3 or 4 episodes. I don't know. And he did a story on us in the Chattanooga. I almost said in the Chattahooligan. That's
in the Chattahooligan. Do we have a zine that I don't know?
Yeah,
about?
We need a zine. We do need a zine. That would be awesome. I would subscribe to that zine.
I'll go blog about it on my MySpace page later.
Or blogger? Wow. Did you have a blogger?
We're talking about zines, my blogging, space. And MySpace.
GeoCities. Wow. On my GeoCities account.
It was an Angel Fire. Build your own HTML.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. We'll put up. We'll put up early. If we only had those little like what was the chat network? Not BBNet, but BBNet was one of them. But I can't remember.
MRC. IRC.
IRC. That's what I was thinking. We could put up. You know, get everybody together on the IRC. The good days of 14.4 or 7200 baud modems. So nice. The kids today, they don't know. The kids today.
But the struggles of dial up.
The days.
That's right. The Elon Musk space network, space Google, whatever it is.
Yeah. When you heard tin can receptions coming through.
That's right. You have to. Yeah. So, all right. So that is all I had on the agenda. Do we have anything else we want to talk about?
We have breaking news. The venue change for tomorrow's match, because that's so MPSL. They're now playing at it's closer. Okay. They're playing at Bearden High School now tomorrow.
Okay.
Bearden. So it's closer in than the previous. So yeah. Same time, same team, different venue.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah.
Well, so Shelly, anything else you want to talk about?
Nope. Just excited to have some more soccer going.
Then where can folks find you on the interwebs?
They can find me on Twitter at ShellyEars82.
Gabby, any final thoughts for the good of the order?
No, you don't want to hear my thoughts tonight.
Okay. Well, then where can people find you to hear your thoughts on the Twitter?
Yeah. Angry sadness coming from the shabby at ShabyBelle. I'm just watching the world burn around us.
Todd, where can they find you?
Hey, you can find me a great footballer on Twitter. And I'm not on Facebook right now. I'm taking a break from Facebook, kind of over that little world right now. So I'm not hanging out there.
Oh, we're going to find you on Parlay?
No, social, is it Truth Social? That's, where you could find, me at Truth Social.
What's Parlay?
Didn't they call it, was it Parlor? I mean, it was spelled Parlor. I know.
Parlor. It's Parlay. Yeah.
Oh. I know it's Parlor. I know the French means to speak, but does that still exist?
Yeah.
They got kicked off Amazon.
You can find me hanging.
Well, then someone else, I think, maybe funded them. I think.
I don't know. True social is where the crazies, where the real crazies at these days. So.
Oh, well, that's probably
Reddit. Just find them on Reddit.
Hey, I don't wish a
Reddit,
find everything on Reddit.
You will not find me on Reddit. I'm maxed out on social media accounts right now, and like I just had enough of the one, and I'm like, okay. So I am hanging out on Instagram. You can find me there.
Making videos on RedTube.
Yeah, exactly. But hey. Big shout out to our NGSA affiliate down in Dalton. Coach K and his North Georgia Soccer Academy under 19 squad is at the national championship tournament out in Denver, Colorado. Had a 5-0 win today. They have two more games to play. And so in case you don't know why that's significant, also two of our academy players are on that team. That would be new signee Fabian Rodriguez, younger brother of Damian, who had scored a brace today in that win, or I think it was yesterday actually. And then we have Hugo. What's Hugo's last name? Hugo.
I almost said Martinez, but that's a different player.
I think you may be right.
That's what came.
I think you may
mind.
Be right. But anyway, he's on the under 19s for NGSA, and they're also academy on academy contracts for CFC. So good luck to those guys. They got two more games coming up. It would be I would really love to get them on actually, maybe when they get back and have a little talk about how things are going, their experience as academy players. So it's always interesting to hear when those guys come up and they play at a higher level and to kind of hear their stories. So.
I love that.
Yeah, if you had talked to somebody who had some experience in North Georgia soccer, who now is on a nationally broadcast show, I don't even know why I give y'all homework. Todd, nobody else can see this, but Todd is now hiding in shame. All right.
Now
well,
it's like a Shark Week commercial, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's where you can find everybody. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Chattagooner. You can find me, block me, mute me, however you want to, whatever you want to do on the Twitter at Chattagooner. So yeah, we'll maybe see you tomorrow or see you in Findlay in a couple of weeks. Until then, go CFC.
Go Blues. And what was the, hold on, what was the other one? What was the last one? Red what?
Red tube?
Red.
You're not making videos for red tube?
Don't.
What's
don't.
Red tube?
Oh, it's for your only version of YouTube.
It's for your only fan site.
Oh, it's a what version of YouTube?
I also love that you're porn. Raising your hand.
Porn.
Oh. That's why we were all laughing.
I want you to know that that's more reflective on y'all than me. I'm just saying.
Yeah. All of us know what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what are you talking about? I was like, what is that? Some far right, like YouTube? I was like, why am I no. that guy?
It's hard.
Not at all.
Oh, Jim, no. No.